Good morning. What a delightful singing was that. I remember many years ago when I was commended to the Lord's work in the UK, in South Wales, the city of Cardiff. I thought they knew how to sing. But now, having come this morning here, you are a bunch of better singers. And it really lifted my spirit. As I arrived this morning, I believe Storm had a question for me. And my name is written as Pushpan, but it is said as Pushpan. And the best way to remember is pushing a pen, Pushpan. And to this day, I do not know there is anybody with the same name anywhere in the world as a gospel preacher. I am privileged to be here this morning with you to bring the wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus. It didn't start very pretty in our home or in our village. There were no Christians there. I'm from the deep south of India, the state of Kerala, but my village didn't have any Christians. Sometimes one wonder how on earth in such situations, thank you, one can come to know the Lord. And that's why we say salvation is by grace and salvation is of the Lord. I don't think any of have done anything special to deserve God's mercy. Growing up in a family of 8 children, Hindus by belief and upbringing, my mother round up all the children to go to the nearby temples. Now, I don't think any of you have been to a temple. Well, temple is where idols are kept there and said, this is our God. My mother was a devotee of idol worship, especially idols of snake. I'm glad it was not poisonous and idols. Otherwise, they would have sent a message. But you know, this lady, my mother, never been to school, but go to the temple with the children, and whatever she could find, maybe an egg or a banana or a coconut or a few coins, she will go very reverently with us children to the temple, and she will go forward and she will put this offering before the idol, and then she will not turn around, she will just walk back. And when there is enough distance between the idol and my mother, she will just fall flat, prostrate before this idol. And the next few minutes she would be weeping, chanting, wailing, praying, rolling on the ground for a few minutes. And we children also do the same. And we will wait for our mother to see whether she is composing herself and getting up, and then we all will get up with her. This went on for years. Never questioned, but the mother does, we go along. And it was a treat, sometimes even to have a little bus ride. But when I was about 12 years old, I was still a Hindu, and somehow I felt that there is no meaning in what my mother is doing, because I could see clearly the idol, and the idol has eyes, but it cannot see the tears of my mother. The idol has ears, but it cannot hear the cry of my mother. And the idol never opened the mouth and said a word to my mother or to us. So why should we do this? Time after time. So I mustered my courage and I told my mother, Mother, take the rest of the children. We were 8. So there's plenty to go around. I said, I'm no more coming with you to the temple. So I needed to find an escape. So I said, I'm going to join with our dad. Now, my dad never went to the temple. And he was not a Hindu man, he was a Hindu man, but not a Hindu religious person. He was a leftist. Now, if I say that, you may not understand. He was a radical. And he believed in Marxism, socialism, communism. And he used to say, you work, you eat. If you don't work, that's it. And, you know, that kind of... So I said to myself, my father has some good principles. And I don't want to go with my mother anymore, so I joined with my dad in his ideology, in his thinking and belief. And he said, we need a social change, and the social change is going to come from believing in things like what he does. And I went along with these people from age 12, at least a good 5 years. By then, they were grooming me and other young people as young comrades, we call. And it was an exciting life. We didn't need to believe in anything. We don't need to submit to any authority, and we can do what we want in the name of revolution, and we can believe that there is going to be a better tomorrow by doing these things. But as I went along, somehow I would say that I finished my high school. And then the comrades, the extended family, my own family, they all got together and they said, there is a college, university campus in the nearby town, so that we should send this young lad to the college. Here, I had the privilege from my home to be the first person going to the campus. And the young comrades, they put some fund together and they said, young man, we are going to spread the Marxist revolution outside the campus. You and your friends, other young comrades, should spread the revolution within the campus. And I said, yes, sir. Went along. 1 year of spending my life in various destructive activities. In the end of that, as a young person, my life was ended up very miserable, no peace, and not knowing where to go, how to turn, whom to turn, and no purpose. I was thinking in my own life, what is going to be my life like this down the road? In my own way, I was rebelling against a creator God, but I didn't know that. I wanted to do my things, and the other comrades wanted me to do some things. So I became some kind of a puppet in the hands of the other older political ideologue. Did things which were not really good, but they were loneliness. And in the second year, I was thinking that I want to change my life, but there was no power in me to change my life. And my friends came along, the life became the same. But you know, in the mercy of God, there was an evangelistic team. They were passing through this town, and their vehicle broke down. And the leader of that team came to the campus where I was studying. He talked to me the first day and distributed some literature. The second day they had their book exhibition and they were talking about the Lord Jesus. And I said, we don't need your God. In India, we have many gods and goddesses. So we don't need your God. But the man got closer to me, and slowly and steadily he began to tell me about the Lord Jesus. And when he told me about the Lord Jesus, I said, yes, the Lord Jesus is from England. Sounds familiar? The man said to me, no, the Lord Jesus is not from England. You know then what I said? Then I said, well, if the Lord Jesus is not from England, he is from Canada. No, I really did say that. The man said, no. The Lord Jesus was born and raised in Asia. Bethlehem is in Asia. I didn't know that as a college student. I was just wanted to argue with this man. But you know, when the man said to me, young man, that the Lord Jesus, not only he came, he died on the cross of Calvary for Pushpan's sin, for my sin, I asked him, did he know me? And the man said to me that the Lord knows everybody because he created us. And he died on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for mankind, for everybody, for every person. That's the first time I heard that the Lord Jesus became my sacrifice, that he loved me. He came to this world and he came to the center of the world so that nobody could have a kind of a monopoly on him. But he came and he took a human form and he became the sacrifice for Pushpan's sins. And this morning I want to say, for your sins too. What a wonderful message. I believe the Spirit of God was working in me. And the Lord Jesus, I believe, have opened my eyes to see that God has made a plan of salvation for me from a Hindu village, brought me to the college where the vehicle, because of their vehicle broke down, they came and I heard the good news of the Lord Jesus. This morning, friends, brothers and sisters, we are at Bethel Chapel. And you are hearing the wonderful good news which saved me about 1968. That's a few years. And since 1969, it's been my joy and my privilege to share this wonderful good news to many people wherever I can reach. I was born in a Hindu village. I was a Hindu and from India. So when I go to India, I make no apology. I can share the good news. I was from the south, but I grew up in the north. So I picked up the languages, and I've been going back and forth. In fact, I do have a flyer that I would like to share with every one of you, a little report about the Lord's work in that part of the world. Let me share a little more about my own situation, I mean my family situation. Soon after I became a Christian, maybe about 2.5 months, my people became very militant, very agitated. And they said, we have sent you to the college and we cannot afford to do that. And my father and others, you know, they have tightened their belts and sent me to college, to higher education. Now you change your religion and you brought shame to us. You must leave. I must leave my village and my home. And they pronounced me to be an outcast. And in those days, in my young age, I was very saddened with the whole ordeal. I had to leave my home soon after I became a believer of the Lord Jesus. So from the south of India, I was led by the Lord, I believe, to the north of India. And the next 46 years, I've been traveling and praying to the Lord. Lord, you are a living God. And this morning as I stand before you, I have no doubt that the Lord is a prayer answering God. He's a living God. He's quite different from all the idols put together in the world and all the religions put together. One by one, my family people, my family members began to turn to the Lord. First my mother, then some of my siblings, then my father, known as Comrade Papu. And today, in my home, there's only one brother. My eldest brother is a remaining Hindu. All the rest, by the grace of God, are saved by believing on the Lord Jesus. When all these people come to know the Lord, what happens to a Hindu home? Even our Hindu home got converted. It's a local Christian assembly hall today. And there is a bunch of people gathering together there to worship the living God. Wherever we go, whether it is in the east or in the west or in the north or south, there's only one name. And there's only one Savior. And that Savior came down from heaven to die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price of every one of our salvation. This morning, my friends, you may be listening this for the umpteen time, many times, or maybe the first time. Let me get closer to you and share with you. Oh, since the day I came to know the Lord, the Lord has taken the sadness, the loneliness, the life of a life without purpose, and the Lord has filled my heart with joy and purpose and salvation. And more than that, today, this morning, I can say with you that my father, Comrade Pappu, and my mother, and a bunch of other people, they are all in heaven because of the Lord Jesus. And this morning, I brought my nephew Ullas. In fact, he and his wife Anis brought me here to the chapel. My nephew Ullas was the son of one of my older brothers, a devoted Hindu man. And he earned a title to be a Sami, means somebody who is devoted. But he came to know the Lord, his son came to know the Lord, and married to Anis. Her father is a preacher in India, and they are settled here in Edmonton, goes to West Grove. So I'm delighted. And some of these things I'm sharing with you this morning, I also want my nephew to hear, because these are things happened way before he was born. But gospel is still penetrating all over the world. And I go to wherever I can go to share the good news of the Lord Jesus. The next 1.5 months, I am going to go to Fiji. You heard about Fiji? It's an island near New Zealand. Half of the population there are Indians, Hindus, speaking Hindi. You know, the Lord saved me in the south of India and sent me to north of India. What happened? I picked up Hindi. For 10 years, I can preach and minister to these people. So, come 1st of August, I will be there for 1.5 months preaching in Fiji. Now, preaching in Fiji, it's physically, it is not a delight. I am going to stay with a brother who owned a bicycle since my last visit there. Till then, he was walking around in the sugarcane plantation. And I'm going to go to his home to stay there. No electricity yet. Now, Fiji is like Kerala, where I came from. Very tropical. And without a fan, it is very difficult to manage. But there is opportunity to go and to preach the gospel. Now, this morning, we are sitting under the fan. It's a bit hot and humid here too. But there, my friends, Janardhan Reddy has no fan, no electricity. But I want you to pray for me. I'm delighted to go there. This is my third trip. I could stay home in California and share the Lord with the high-tech Indian tribe there. I mean, the Indian tribe from India. They are high-tech and high-minded, but lost. That's what I do most of the time. But once in a while, it is my opportunity to go to other places where, you know, the gospel is not preached much and the Hindus are still in their idolatry kind of situation. So come 1st of August, I will be gone till the 16th of September. That's about 1.5 months. Keep me in your prayers if you remember me. Pushpan in Fiji. And I don't know. You know, this bottle Fiji, I carry this. Clean water from Fiji. So though no electricity, there is some good thing there. And there is tropical fruits, tropical roots, which I grew up with. Tapioca, you may not know. And homegrown vegetables. So there will be plenty there in that way. And they need the gospel. So it's my privilege to return there and to share the wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus. Now this morning, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, and I would like us to look at a verse there. You know, throughout the Bible, there is one word comes time and time again, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament. And when you look at verse 19 of chapter 3, Acts 3, 19, let me read it for you. I'm reading from the NIV, but you can follow whichever verse you have. Is it here up? No. Okay, let me read it for you. It starts here, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." See that word? The first word? It's a word repeated time and time again. In the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, a word called repent. People in the world need to repent. There's no question about that. And in a humble way, I also want to say that people in the church also need to repent. And that's when the revival will start. Revival will take place when the saints repent. When a sinner repents, he will turn to God and salvation becomes his. Whether you are a saint or a sinner this morning, we have a message from the Lord this morning. So look at this verse again. It says, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." The times of refreshing, my brothers and sisters, we need. And where does it come from? It doesn't come from our comfort zone. The times of comfort, the times of refreshing will not come from our comfort zone. We can have anything in this world, but if we don't have the Lord Jesus in our lives, and if we do not know that we are walking and talking and going along close with the Lord Jesus, there is no refreshing in our lives. And that's what it says here. There are four things underlined here. Repent then and turn to God, number two, so that your sins may be wiped out, number three, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Don't we long for a time of refreshing in our lives? Or are we happy to go along the way we are going along? In the Western world, my brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong, I live here too. In the Western world, many things we have. But do we have the refreshing of the Lord? Do we feel that the presence of the Lord? You know, as we go to other places in the world, there are people, they are saying, "Sir, please come with this way. Sir, please come to our home. Share with us what you believe. We want what you got." But in the Western world, if we call somebody, they say, no, I don't have the time for that. I don't need your whatever. See, the way they react, they have the things of this world, but they don't have the refreshing of the Spirit of God or the presence of God. We have come to a situation where many people do not want the Lord. But we have the chorus, "People need the Lord." That is true. Wherever they are, people need the Lord. And people will have the Lord when they repent and turn to God. Till there is no turning, there is no going to God. Many people, when they come around and listen to the word of God, they would like to sit on their hands. Instead of turning around and turning to God, they say, it's okay, maybe another time. But there is no another time. This is the time. And this morning, if you are thinking about your own life, you may be a saved person. Praise the Lord. Or you may be a person sitting on the fence. We don't know when that would be, that We may leave this world, it could be any time. But this is the day of grace. This is the time of salvation. I'm eternally grateful to my God that I had an opportunity as a young person to listen to the voice of God through this man saying, the Lord Jesus can save you. The Lord Jesus can transform your life. The Lord Jesus can give you a better life. As I look back, my friends, my brothers and sisters, what a wonderful Savior we have. And we would like to gather together and sing that chorus, don't we? Because it is true. We can sing, since the day the Lord has come into my life. What a change. What a transformation. What a peace. What a joy. What a purpose. You know, the Lord is somebody who saves us and leaves us alone? No. The Lord saves us and the Lord is with us every day. The psalmist says, the Lord loadeth us with blessings every day of our lives. It's a wonderful life. If any of you are doubting and wondering, oh, if I get saved, then the life is going to be a long bore. No, it's an exciting life. Look at me, I'm 64 years old. And I was saved very young. And many years of enjoying the Lord's presence and His goodness and blessings. And my own family, many of them have come to know the Lord. I have a wife and 7 children. They are not children anymore, they are adults. It's a wonderful life. And the Lord who promised us will look after us. But we should submit to Him. The best way I could illustrate that how we should turn to the Lord and what is lacking in us as people of God is from the Old Testament. You know, God's chosen people, Israel, remember? What happened to Israel? God had mercy on them. In fact, God had saved them. God had delivered them. And God had looked after them. And God has chosen them to be His promised people. And that's what you and me. Today, in the New Testament, we are the chosen people of God. Saved by the grace of God. Looked after us by His promises. But what happened? Why there are gaps here? Of course, I was thinking that it is for the saints of God. I mean, the angels of God. You know, they are sitting with us this morning. And you are and me, we are safeguarded. We are looked after. And as we worship this morning, I was thinking, maybe not many people visible, but God has His angels worshiping with us. We cannot see with our naked eyes, but God has His people all over the world, even today. But we as people of God, what happened to us? Turn with me to a passage in Hosea and chapter 13 in the Old Testament, just to illustrate the fact of what happened to God's people in the Old Testament. It can also happen to the New Testament. It can also happen to you and me. And we look at this verse here, chapter 13, Hosea. And I'm looking at verse 5. Hosea 13, 5. Let me read it to you. It says, I cared for you in the desert, in the land of the burning heat. This is God talking to the Israelites. They were in the wilderness. They were in the burning heat. They were under the slavery of Pharaoh. They were buffeted, beaten up. They were starved. They were just treated as people, those who are under slavery. And there the word of God says, I cared for you in the desert, in the land of burning heat. And the next verse, my brothers and sisters, it says here, But when I fed them, they were satisfied. Even there in the desert, in the wilderness, when God had mercy on them, it says here, when I fed them, they were satisfied. Sounds familiar? Look at the next line. The next line says, when they were satisfied, they became proud. Today, as we go to different homes here or in California, when we talk to them about the Lord Jesus, you know what they ask? What do you want? I don't want your God, but tell me, how can I help you? How can I be of a help? That comes from a proud heart, isn't it? And you and me can also get into that situation. When we are fed, we are satisfied, but then we were satisfied, we became proud, we read here, we see here. Not only that, it says, then they forgot me. See that? Then they forgot me. The people of God have forgotten the Creator God who created them and who took them out of the wilderness and fed them, clothed them, looked after them. And the Word of God says they became proud. We are accountable. God looked after us. God fed us. You know, the life today here or anywhere in the world for that matter is not a kind of a life 50 years ago. Life has been very comfortable. Even for the people of God, it has become very comfortable. And the Lord fed us. And then we become proud. We have all what we need, don't we? Our automobile, our cozy homes, our jobs, and many other amenities and facilities. God has been good to us. But just like God's chosen people, we should not come to a stage where we become proud. And the next step is more dreadful. And that says, then they forgot me. The people of God, forgetting God. The people of God is saying, I'm fine right now. I don't need it anymore. The people of God turning their back. Now you and me, we don't do that. But if there is anybody doing that, there's a warning from God that we can never forget God. We can only turn to Him and we can only repent and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving me a purpose and a peace. This morning, our friends, as we gather together, do you have a grateful heart? Or are you like this proud heart and forgetting God? You know how we turn to God? The Word of God says how we can turn to God. We can turn to God, whatever be our situation. It says here in first verse of chapter 14. Please turn with me to the very first verse of chapter 14. How we turn to God. How Israelites, the lost people, or the rebellious people, or the people, those who forgot God, are turning to God. And God is saying to them in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. So what's our problem? The Word of God is saying the same way. Return, you people of God. Your sins have been your downfall. It is not that God had moved away from us. It's the other way around. We have moved away from God. Whatever be our situation, our circumstances, health, wealth, money, prestige, possessions, Whatever be that, the word of God is saying that return. Oh, people of God. Though it is written here, Israel, we have to think about this morning as people of God, today, now. And it says, it's been your sins, nothing else, been your downfall. So how do we return to God? The next verse, it says here, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. A lips of repentance toward God. Not a lips of murmuring and complaining. You know, even today with all the things we have, we still complain, don't we? The Lord has given us so much. And when we turn to God, the word of God says how we should turn to God. We should turn to God, take words with you, and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruits of our lips. And now the fruits of our lips would be thanksgiving and praise and worship and honor and adoration, because our God has dealt with us bountifully. Sometimes, you know, not only our cup is filled, our cup is overflowing. God has been good to every one of us. And out of that overflowing cup, we say, thank you, Lord. You did not deal with me according to what I deserve. You know, who here in this hall would deserve a fair treatment from God? You know, God can treat with us the way he wants, and he can still be fair. None of us can say, oh, I deserve a better deal. I'm, you know, something, somebody important. No, we were all rotten, wretched, wicked, lost, sinners. There was only one plea from us. Lord, save me. Lord, be gracious to me. And that's how the word of God says that we need to return to him. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins. And the word of God says, what does he say? He will forgive us. He will look after us. Verse 4 here in chapter 14, it says here, it's a promise from God to people, those who return to him. The word of God says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. You know, God has all the right to be angry with people in the world, sinners. May I also say that God has all the right to be angry with the saints of God because of our waywardness. This is chosen people of God, Israelites. And God is saying here in verse 4, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. You know, when a revival takes place, God's people will be the first one to repent and to fall on the ground and to say, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy because of our waywardness. We are turning to you. We are repenting. You know, there were revivals in the past. If you read, you know, I mentioned about South Wales where I lived in 1904, over 100 years ago. There was a mighty work of the grace of God. People, they repented and they turned to God in such a way that even the miners, the people in the mines, before they go down to the coal mines, they go to the chapel in the morning to pray. And we read that even the horses were wondering what happened to the master, because the filth was no more coming out of these miners. They stopped cursing. They stopped saying profanity. And they were praising God. I mean, what will happen if the whole Edmonton will go to the chapel in the morning and to pray and praise the Lord before they go to their work. Their workplace will be turning into heaven. Imagine where they are singing songs and praising God as they work along. This is what happened in South Wales in 1904. And it went on. You know, I went to Bible school there. And in little town, you may not have heard of Barry. It's a small town. There are so many elegant looking buildings, church buildings. Of course, they are empty today. But they were all built 1904, 1905, 1906. So one wonder what happened here. Oh, there was a revival and the people were coming in mass and they had no place to gather together. So they had to build these big chapel halls. But today they are empty. But that will happen when a revival will take place. And here it says that God will heal us. If any of us wonder when there is going to be a reviving of the Spirit of God in our lives, if you wonder that it is going to be a tragedy or a contamination or a difficult situation, the Word of God says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. There is going to be a healing. There is going to be a cleansing. Not only that, as we read along, let me give you another verse where it says in verse 8 and the B part, it says, yes, the last part of verse 8, it says, your fruitfulness comes from me. In chapter 10 of Hosea, verse 1, it says, there it says that Israel is an empty vine. An empty vine is no beauty to look at. We want a vine with grapes. But here it says, Israel is an empty vine. That means fruitless. Many of us as people of God, we are like that. An empty vine. There's no fruit. Many of us, when it comes to witnessing for the Lord Jesus, we shy away and we go the other way. From our colleagues and our people, we don't open our mouth. Let's be honest. We are ashamed. But we can always say that the Lord saved me. And that is what is fruit bearing. And the Word of God says here in last part of verse 8 that your fruitfulness comes from me. When a person of God is revived, he is a moving witness for the Lord Jesus. Wherever he goes, he will ignite a fire. And the fire is going to be spread. People will be drawn to the Savior. And that is what we call fruitfulness. But here it says, Israel is an empty vine. There is no fruit. The master comes and the master looks at the wine. And the master sees the wine empty. You and me. Can you imagine the delight of the master? You know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says the master is keeping it for a day of burning. It's dry. There's no fruit. And if you look at that verse in Gospel of John chapter 15, you know, the vine and the branches. And the branches without any grapes is an empty wine, and that would be burned up. But that's a graphic description of people without fruit. Fruitfulness. So healing will come. Secondly, fruitfulness will come. And it is going to blossom again. You and me, we are going to bear fruits for the glory of God. These pews are going to be filled with the people of God when there is going to be a revival. Then the sinners, boys and girls, young people from their wayward ways, come and repent and turn to the living God. And that is what is going to happen when a saint of God turns around. And there are many saints here this morning. Listen to the Word of God. You know, God did not finish with us yet. God has been merciful. God has been gracious. God has fed us. God has clothed us. God has looked after us. And it is our turn to Him. Turn to Him and say, Lord, I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want to be a fruitful Christian. I lived a long life. Of course, here and there, aches and pains and whatever we have, but still, we are alive. And this morning, we got up and we got dressed and we came to the chapel hall and we are listening to the word of God, so we are not that bad. It is for a purpose. God has raised us up. And whatever life it is going to be ahead of us, is just consider it as a bonus. But what are we going to do with the bonus? It is for the glory of God to bear fruits for Him. I want to close here. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, to think along with me. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? The Lord has saved you maybe some years ago. And the Lord has given us a good life. And the only purpose of saving us and keeping us here below is to be a witness for Him. We live in a great city. You live in a big city, a great city. Many people yet need to come to the fold of Christ. Every generation is responsible for that generation. Today, people, those who are around us, who haven't heard the gospel or understood the gospel or not believed on the gospel, there is some responsibility with us. You know, this morning we were thinking about the camp and how boys and girls goes to the camp. We remember stories of that too. We remember Kids Club. We remember VBS. My youngest brother is serving the Lord today in North India because he went a VBS when age 8. And then, of course, he came to know the Lord eventually. And he came to the United States. He lived there 10 years. But then the call of God came. Today, he is in New Delhi running Kids Club and saying, look, I got saved when I was 8 years old. Somebody cared to tell me. So, you know, the children's work is very important. So is the adult's work. Unless God saved as an adult. So as we share, God is going to bless our efforts. And I look at verse 9 and then I will close. Please look at with me verse 9. Verse 9 says, yes, this verse is it's a warning for us. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. There is no neutrality here. The righteous will walk, and the rebels will stumble. We know in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, it says, Christ is the foundation. You cannot put any other foundation in your life than the Lord Jesus. Try it out if you like. But on the other side, you put the foundation of the Lord Jesus. Try it out for 6 months and you see the difference. And that's why the word of God says, Christ is the foundation. It's a foundation stone for some. But at the same time, it's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense for others. This morning, the word of God says that we have an opportunity and we want every one of us to be wise, to be discerning, and to be understanding. And the ways of the Lord is perfect. It is right. And the word of God says the righteous will walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Something for us to think about as we walk out of this hall. May I pray with you? Would you close your eyes with me?